Virginia. Join us as we explore the world of common ownership developments, the fastest growing form of residential development in America today. This housing concept includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single family homes that are part of a mandatory homeowners association. Unfortunately, this type of housing is not as utopian as its advocates would have us believe. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means giving up part of the American dream. It means giving up constitutional rights and control over one's most valuable asset, one's home. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WEBR Fairfax, Virginia. I'm Sue Bartholomew. Welcome to On the Commons. Today on the Commons with us, we have someone who's basically written a whole new era on homeowner associations. And we have with us, I'm very pleased, Eldon Hardy. Eldon is the ombudsman from Nevada for homeowner associations. That includes condominiums as well. And he is also a registered arbitrator, right, Eldon?
Well, I'm nationally certified with two companies.
You're nationally certified. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Glad to be of any help I can or share some thoughts and so forth. So,
well, we're very pleased to have you with us. Now, you're the second ombudsman.
Yes. The prior ombudsman was in the position for not a very long time. I'm not absolutely sure, but it was, I think, about a year or less. And in the position was vacant for nearly a year after that.
Oh, it was vacant for a while.
It was vacant for quite some time. And so there was a very bad void in anybody, you know, people knowing who they could call to try to get some assistance and answers to their questions.
Okay, now, you obviously, the initial groundwork had been laid before you took over, and you went in, so you went in, you weren't completely green. You kind of knew what was going on. Did it turn out the way you thought it would?
Well, it did not immediately, of course, and I was, frankly, not really personally familiar with common interest communities, as we term them. I knew that they existed, and I was familiar with the concept, but I was a little surprised when I was hired, and we had one other person who was not really part of this office, but he had been assigned to intermittently kind of take care of the phone calls and give people assistance. He did. He was the one that monitored and processed the ADR program, which we use, which is mediation arbitration processes.
Mm-hmm.
So for quite some time, for nearly 9 months after being hired, there was I and him in that office, and which was very, very short on staff.
How long ago did you start? Did you take over?
I began in this position in April of 2001.
So you're coming up to, what, 3 years on
three
this?
3 years.
Yeah,
April,
two and a half years. You must have a whole lot of lessons learned. And
well, sometimes on-the-job training is about as good as experiences you can have.
Is that another way of saying flying by the seat of your pants?
Kind of.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but you know that the whole country has been watching Nevada because you guys were the first ones to come up with this concept.
Yes, and I become very aware of that when I started getting some calls from around the country, and it was really brought to my attention this past September when I attended the United States Ombudsman's Association conference.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only ombudsman there that dealt with the homeowner associations, but everyone was just intrigued with, you know, the comments that we made in our seminars and workshops and so forth about what we were doing, and I've had an awful lot of conversation since, and a great deal of interest showed in this industry, if you want to call it, and the lifestyle that people live in and the problems that are there. And it isn't totally, you know, drowning in problems, but it is a different type of lifestyle for many people.
Well, most people, and it's something... I'm sorry?
Well, for most people, it's a different lifestyle when they get into it, and especially if they don't really understand, you know, read their documents that they are required to get when they purchase these homes, and that doesn't happen all the time. We know there's always errors, but that's one of the big challenges. People don't really understand exactly what they're agreeing to be a part of.
Let me ask you something. Now, I've had this conversation with other people, and some of the folks, some of my friends who are part of the industry tell me on the quiet that if people knew what they were getting into, they would not buy into an association. Do you kind of agree with that?
Well, probably I do, especially if they'd had any experience with it prior. Some people will read their, you know, their CC&Rs, bylaws, you know, the disclosure package, and really still not understand what that means.
Yeah, and I think that some of the problems. All right, let's. I'm trying to make this cohesive, but there's so much that I want to ask you.
Yeah.
And so much I want to talk about that it's going to be kind of hard to keep
sometimes
it.
Sometimes I can't shut up either when I get talking about it.
Oh, good. Well, I hope you have fun on the show. Relax and enjoy yourself because
I
know that we're going to have a lot of people tuning in, and a lot of people are going to be looking at what you guys have done because you are the role models. You are the ones who've basically set the stage and written the book so far. You're still writing it.
Yes, new laws just went into effect.
And we're going to be talking about those.
Yes,
But, you know, there was an article that came out, a few days ago, and there's a photo of you, and you've got it basically says a lap full of complaints. How many complaints do you get on average?
Well, it's not correct to call every phone call we get a complaint. Probably half of them is just asking for some advice on how to, you know, how they can get some results and some satisfaction, and that's been our main focus, is to just advise people of the rights and responsibilities and how they can, you know, as a homeowner and Homeowners United can take some positive action in getting things corrected. But our office, let me back up a little bit. After that first 9 months, we did hire two more individuals. So our staff at the present time involves four people. We have a total of four people in the office.
Full-time?
Full-time.
Okay.
Our normal monthly phone call numbers, excuse me, average between about 1,100 and 1,500.
A month?
A month.
What's
now,
the biggest...
Many of those are repeat calls or, you know, the same person. Maybe we didn't get back to them as soon as they'd like, because with a short staff and that many calls, it's impossible to answer the phone all the time.
Wow. what's the biggest problem, or what's the biggest complaint or question, if you will?
To be totally honest with you, Sue, it's almost impossible to pick one out that's totally
really?
Much more than others. But it's usually the more serious ones, and the most of them I get, are problems getting a communication with their board members or their management company, getting someone to respond to the request, and then someone that has had liens filed on their property and they're disputing them, so they don't think they should have to pay them. That's kind of the biggest things we've tried to address is, frankly, education and communication has been my focus ever since I've been there.
So do you think how could you force the board to communicate with the homeowners? Now, I get a lot of calls from people as well who say, you know, I've sent letters to my board, I've requested so-and-so, I mean, I'm in the middle of a problem, and I just don't get a response. How do you handle that?
Well, it's very difficult to control other people's personalities, but the main thing that I would be willing to do is, when that issue had been a problem for a while, is I would then make a phone call to that officer of their board. And I'll have to say that most of the time I didn't have any trouble getting a call back or reaching these people. And it's just this concept of a third-party influence. And the board members recognized who I was, what we were doing, because my first thing I did, Sue, when I went into place was recognize that we need to let people know we existed. So I pushed the issue of being on TV programs of the news and stuff, and got on a lot of times and quite a few newspaper articles talking about our office. And then the phone calls started to increase, and that was the goal for that.
So you basically wanted to hear from people.
Well, I feel like if I'm in that position, then that's what I need to do. I mean, I'm not going to hide from these people like some other individuals may appear to be doing, you know, in the association board members.
So the board members and the managers, basically. Why do they hide from them, Eldon? Any idea?
Pardon?
Why do they hide from them? Why don't they return calls?
Well, I'll give you my feeling about that. One of them is a fact that the property management companies, you know, the professional people that do that,
mm-hmm.
actually have committed to more work than they can do.
Oh, so they're under staff?
Have management companies that are managing hundreds and hundreds of associations, one company. And that is one of the challenges I really have. I when I go to seminars that we give for them and so forth, I encourage them to not tell the homeowners to call the manager, not the board. We'll take care of it for you, because I acknowledge that they just cannot return those calls like the homeowners expect, and because there's too many of them. But many board members just ask the property managers, you know, don't have them call us, have them call you, and then you tell us what they want. And I've tried very hard to correct that, what I feel like is a bad glitch in the communication area.
So basically what you're saying it's a staffing problem.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So you think if you had more staff, that they would return calls?
I believe they would.
And you'd have a better communication system.
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. And what's the other problems? I guess from my perspective, I'm looking at what the biggest problems are to see if there are any easy solutions to those problems.
Well, I'll address that in just a minute.
Okay.
The new law addresses that very precisely. But another thing I recognize, and I'm just kind of giving you the background of what we've done, and we've made, we've gone from, you know, one person in our office now, and with the new law, and as soon as all the positions are filled, we will have a staff of 12. So our staff has gone from 4 to 12 in this legislative session. We're still in the process of hiring all those people, but I could sense that there was a lack of education on board members, so I got some professionals to volunteer to work with my office in presenting seminars for homeowners and board members, not for the licensees and individuals like that, but the people who are down in the, you know, the grassroots of the thing. And we had tremendous attendance at most of those. We did them. I presented about just under 30 of them throughout the state, most of them in the Las Vegas area in the first year. And we had an average attendance of between 100 to 150 to 200 homeowners and board members. And that's what I wanted, was for them to come to the same seminar and hear the same thing. And we had a great attendance. And I recognized a big difference in the level of complaints of, especially from those associations who had been attending those seminars. But these were volunteers that offered to do that for us.
Okay, and who were the volunteers that did the seminars, that put
We had property managers, CPAs, reserve funds experts, attorneys, insurance specialists in that field, and people who specialize in the banking industry for associations also. And the main priority we had was, this is not a job solicitation thing. It is No one was allowed to do any of that. And I, you know, master of ceremonies, you know, I oversaw all the seminars. And it got to be quite a time-consuming thing. And they were done in the early evenings throughout the state. But it was a great step forward. And now we have contracted with these same people and had it put in our budget approved by the state to present 54 of these seminars per year for the last 2 years.
54, so that's about one a week.
Uh-huh. Well, yes, and throughout the state of Nevada.
And you've been, and it sounds like you're covering a wide range of topics here, from CPAs, attorneys, insurance guys, managers.
Well, you know, nearly everyone that's in the industry. You know, every field that's there.
Okay.
And I was very grateful for these guys because they were the most respected people in the industry, too, at that time. And it was very, very, very well received, Hugh.
Well, that sounds very innovative. That sounds really very good.
And we tried to make them very informal. Just, we would, candidly, I had my wife bake cookies, and I'd go bring cookies and drinks. And it was really kind of fun. People enjoyed it.
Yeah. I guess, you know, insurance and CPAs, and I guess this kind of explains to the homeowners and the board members about the financial aspects,
yes,
of running an association.
Exactly.
Does that also include, you know, the homeowners have basically got to start overseeing some of this stuff because their pocketbooks are affected. They've got to attend meetings. They've got to look at the books and records.
Exactly. That is another thing that you'd probably be interested in. About a year ago, we did a survey. We sent about 160,000 surveys out.
Wow.
And received about 10% back, which I felt was a good response.
Mm-hmm.
We had, as I recall, 24 questions, and I don't remember each one of them, but it was one of the questions we asked was, are you pleased in living in your association? Do you enjoy living there?
Mm-hmm.
The response was that 92% of the people were very happy living there. Now, I did recognize that number probably indicates a large percentage of it were response from people who never attended meetings, didn't know anything, but they hadn't had any problems. They just, you know, sent their assessment, you know, their fees payment in every month.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pleased, because that is, it's a fact that we hear from most of the time repeatedly the same people that another problem will come up, and they've dealt with this before. So, but we do not, I would say that we probably, out of the approximately a million people that live in these in Nevada, now that is, there's no way to get that number exactly, but I know it's pretty close, and that's more than half of the people that live in the state. So I've made the comment that the majority of the citizens of Nevada live in association, so it's a big issue.
So,
but, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, you're saying that 50% of all of housing or homeowners in Nevada are in an association, but you don't seem to have a very clear, in this article it sounds like you don't really know exactly how many associations there really are, because some of them are not reporting in. Is
that
correct?
That's right. We have about 50% of them that are registered with this office, which is a statutory requirement. It's just enforcing that has not been done and not pushed real hard, because, you know, we're not looking to be, you know, really governmental so much, but that gives us the opportunity to inform these associations of their seminars and so forth if they're registered with us, and that's kind of the core of what I, you know, got out to everybody. If you register with us, then we can work with you better because we'll know who you are also.
So basically you've heard from about half of the people in...
Yes, there's approximately... we have about 1,500 associations registered, and I believe there's between 2,800 and 3,000 in the state.
Wow! So you think that the numbers are going to be a whole lot higher than 50% of all residents in associations?
Yes, there is a new law that is going to impress people to register with us. That is that the...
I like your choice of words. You want to explain what impress means?
Well, number one, can insist that those that are aware they need to register with us, and of course educate those that probably don't even know that, because a lot of small associations just kind of isolate themselves from everything else. But I met with the Secretary of State this last session, and they have implemented a provision that in order for a nonprofit corporation, which most of these are registered as nonprofit corporations, the law does stipulate you need to register the Secretary of State before you can form a corporation, you know, because or an association, which is corporations, we all know,
mm-hmm.
that if your association name indicates that you're a homeowner association or your articles of incorporation do designate that, that they will not renew your corporate status until you've proven that you register with this office. Now, that sounds a little oppressive, but it's most of the homeowners, once they realize what that means, are very pleased with their small fee that they pay to do that. Now, that is how we are funded.
Yeah, I was going to get into that, the funding here.
But we are certainly now going to give the homeowners something for their money, which we, have, with the small staff, have not been able to provide everything that we wanted to.
Since we brought it up, since we started talking about the funding, initially you started off with a $3 per door fee. Is that still what you're collecting?
That's the maximum it's allowed to ever be.
So that's basically it. Now, how the staff that you're going to get, you're going to go from 4 to 12.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to have to get additional funding for that?
No. The financial history and so forth will show that this budgeting was approved because it's proven that we do not have to increase that amount if we get the other associations to register.
Oh, so you're going to look at, that's the key right there.
Uh-huh.
Now, the eight new people who are coming on board, these are going to be paid staff, right?
Pardon?
They're going to be paid.
They're paid, yes.
They're paid staff, so they're not volunteers.
Uh-huh.
And what will their jobs be? Answer phones?
Okay, we will have, one of the things I recommended 2 years ago was that I felt like what we ought to have is some staff members that could actually go out into the field, if you will, and attend the board, attend board meetings, do training to the boards on site, and also give advice and be a personal, face-to-face liaison between them and the outside world, if you will, someone that could give them some advice and then have something positive take place when the problems arose. Now, I will have three of those people who will do education and so forth, like I just mentioned, go out to mm-hmm. associations, either by request or if I get quite a few complaints from one, I will probably just send someone out to take a look and see what's going on.
Can they attend a meeting? I mean, I seem to recall the previous ombudsman being thrown out of meetings because she wasn't a member. Have you run into that?
Yes, I'm aware of that matter, and that there was two or three instances that came up, and I'm not going to judge or criticize anybody. I've just was told that it was more of a, I don't know how to term this without making it sound bad, but a very biased approach that she presented.
So you don't think that any of the boards, I mean, I imagine that some boards are not going to be particularly happy having someone from the ombudsman's office checking in on them.
That's true. My feeling is simply this, and I have attended many meetings myself.
Okay.
And frankly, I know that when we're there, the meetings are a lot different than when we're not.
Okay, so you do understand that.
Absolutely, and that's one of the reasons for this, is to have someone come and look at what's going on. Because every call I get, and, you know, somebody will talk to me about their problem, and I recognize that that's one side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
With my experience as an arbitrator and working in mediation and dealing with people, I was in a people-oriented business for 45 years until I retired from that.
Wow.
You have to not be biased until, you know, a situation is very obvious what's going on. And then my authority has been expanded quite a bit this year to try to reach a point of making recommendations and expressing my feelings about how it ought to be cured. I can't enforce somebody like, you know, a mediation or issue a binding arbitration process, but people want someone to come and listen to the problem and give an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what anybody wants.
But you go in and all of a sudden the board members behave themselves, or they allow the homeowners to speak, or they don't.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
And but then when you're not there the next meeting, it's back to the way things used to be, right?
Well, evidently, that's what we hear, but if we're not there, you never know. That's
yeah.
What I'm trying to... I'm just trying to send a message out that let's do it right, guys, because if you have nothing to hide, then there shouldn't ever be any of these problems anyway.
Well, that's very true.
And I'm very appreciative of people who are willing to serve on the board. I know that everyone realizes that the biggest problem in this industry is personality conflicts and ego trips sometimes, or
mm-hmm.
not being educated to the point you really know what you're going to do.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it would seem to me that you've got sort of, you're taking what starts off as a community where everybody's basically on the same level, the same footing. You're just neighbors.
Uh-huh.
And then you're giving a lot of power to a small handful of people. And that tends to, you know, Lord Acton said power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that seems to be bearing out from what I can see. And do you see that as a big problem?
Well, I do see that as a big problem when you have people who are running these, the offices, the board members, you know, the people who are running the association with the authority given them in a unethical manner. And that's a big challenge we've got, and that is what has been addressed with this new legislation. Now, I know that everyone that has a problem kind of understands the concept of associations. Now, we all know why they're in place, at least I hope we do, but the positive side to it is extremely good. You know, the nice community that there is some rules to keep the values up. We all know that the boards have a fiduciary responsibility to enhance the value and keep it nice, but you don't have to be a dictator to do it. Communicate with each other. That's a perfect world scenario, I know, Sue, but...
No, I was going to say, How do you determine whether or not a board has enhanced values? If everything's in an association, how do you say, all right,
well,
board, you've done a good job?
Well, the government does, you know, the real estate division of government does surveys at least every 6 months in Nevada on the value of real estate, these homes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone up, you know, overall, very steadily goes up every year. No.
But do houses that are not in an association go up steadily as well?
They do too, but the associations have actually gone up a little more than those outside of associations. And it's targeted that way to kind of do a little comparison. But just by the nature of the economy, the value of homes has gone up. But that's one thing I point out to boards when I have the opportunity to address concerns, that if, you know, the law is very, very clear that the board members are not liable for, you know, making decisions that it's proven they weren't deliberately making bad decisions, but of course our laws do stipulate that if it can be proven that it was done knowingly and with, deliberate malfeasance, that the individual board members can be held personally liable for that in civil action.
Yeah. We're talking to Eldon Hardy, the ombudsman from Nevada, and we're going to take a short break. We'll be back on the other side of our favorite song. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.
WBR Fairfax Radio. I'm Sue Bartholomew. Welcome to On the Commons. On the Commons with me today is Eldon Hardy, the ombudsman from Las Vegas, from Nevada, for the entire state of Nevada. Thanks for joining us today, Eldon.
Welcome.
You are the entire state, not just Las Vegas.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about the problems. We talked a little bit about the history of your office during the first half of the show. You want to tell us a little bit about, you've taken this from a one-man office to where you're now going to have a whole staff of about 12 people dealing with the issues, right?
Yes. And it's even much broader than that. I would like to not digress too much, but I would like to just express some of the problems that people have in the industry is with professional people, attorneys and managers and different outside entities who I feel sometimes try to take advantage of it. I do have many occasions where people who are not trained in this field will try to, benefit themselves by getting involved in some way, and we do have a lot of organizations and groups that are very opposed, and I personally feel that they sometimes try to take advantage of the ignorance of many homeowners by, playing on their emotions and so forth and telling them that they shouldn't have to do this and shouldn't have to do that, and I've tried very hard to meet those concerns by addressing some of the people that seem to not really have a good understanding either, but I won't get into that area, but there are a problem in both those areas, from people inside the industry and people outside who are trying to probably make things worse by just trying to play on people's ignorance that are in associations that don't understand what they bought into. The concept of associations is a very positive thing if everyone understands, and of course everybody will commute and be nice, but that doesn't happen.
Can you tell us why you believe it's a positive thing, Eldon?
Well, the positive aspect is that a community is, aesthetically very nice looking and a nice, well-kept neighborhood, and the amenities that you jointly own with the other homeowners are things like a pool, a clubhouse, a tennis court, golf courses, and all those things are things that you would not probably, most people wouldn't be able to afford to have individually. And having part ownership in that really just means it's yours to use whenever you want to.
Couldn't that be said also of, if the local government owned it right next door?
Well, that's true, but the local governments aren't going to provide as many of those as would be required to match the, availability that is made to homeowners in the associations. Now, that doesn't work perfect either, but everyone would like to have a pool, probably, and that's just a little concept that I think is sometimes overlooked, but it really boils down to those in office, the people that make the rules, you know, or not make the rules, but enforce the governing documents, just many times do not do it right. They get selective, and we know all about that.
We do know all about that. You would be out of a job if we didn't have that problem, right?
I would too. Let me explain what's happened, if that's what you want to know.
Yeah, I kind of would like, yeah, I'd like to know, because you started off with one person and you added people, and now you're adding more people.
Well, Sue, I've testified before two legislatures in Nevada, and we meet every other year. The first year was the session started about 2 days after I was hired, but with my background, I've been to sessions, I've been involved in associations that I've helped form in my field that I worked in before. I frankly had an auto repair center for 45 years and helped form two associations that dealt with owners of those and education for that, and also independent business people. And so I've been to legislature, and I've lived in Las Vegas for 46 years now. So it wasn't like I was going in totally green about it. But what's happened this year is, and this, they started addressing this in the last session because everybody recognized they needed some solution, if you will, to the complaints that seem to never get resolved without a lot of frustration and stress and quite a lot of expense to the individuals. Are you familiar with the ADR program we have?
Is it mandatory?
It's mandatory in associations prior to hiring an attorney and going to district court. You can do this process and have a situation mediated or arbitrated by professionals in that field. It's very, very effective, and it can be resolved in 2, 3, 4 months at the worst, and the cost is quite inexpensive compared to, you know, legal fees that attorneys would charge. And most attorneys that are in the industry really do support this very highly. The problem with it is that some homeowners can't afford what it was normally set up to do. It's like a few hundred dollars to pay an arbitrator's costs, you know, every time it's spent. So with the new laws that have gone into effect, this year there has not just been the people that have been approved for my office, which is required because of the new load we'll have, and we talked about the field officers and so forth. There will be other, you know, administrative people who will be doing a lot of record keeping, statistics, educational material, and so forth. We're going to continue our seminars. There is a common interest commission that's been appointed by the governor of Nevada. Their position is to deal strictly with homeowner associations, common interest communities, and given the authority after we have done what we've been doing and expanded our effort a little bit to our authority to reach solutions, then this commission and hearing panels that they will appoint to help them with the hearing processes will have the authority to take enforce action against anyone in the industry that is violating the state statutes.
Who's on the...
That means board members, management companies, developers, real estate salespeople, everyone that is licensed and has a fiduciary duty, as board members do, to obey the laws.
Who's on the hearing panel, Eldon?
Well, there is one person that represents the homeowners, someone that's been a homeowner and been involved on the board also.
So a board member?
It's a board member.
Okay.
She's not a board member now. But she's been a board member in the past. It required someone that had experience being, you know, living in the association and serving on the board, but it isn't mandate. They just had to be a homeowner that's knowledgeable and, you know, and had a desire to help in that area.
Okay.
There is someone representing the management industry. There is an attorney. There is an individual that represents one of the developers and a CPA.
So do they all sit on the hearing panel at the same time?
Yes.
So the panel is made up of what?
The panel is made up of five individuals.
Five individuals.
Those five, but they have the authority to appoint other qualified individuals who can hear some of the cases, because I can promise you that until this gets, you know, the process gets flowing smoothly and everybody understands what we can do and so forth prior to that, and I feel like that the number is going to be higher than they expect, but they are set up to have other, you know, individuals who will be educated and, you know, of course, interviewed and everything, proven that they are knowledgeable, can help them make decisions which the panel, or the commission, I'm sorry, will approve and look at it. But it's just the time involved in getting all these things looked at. But this, they, and what they can do is terminate somebody from their position if necessary. They can order them to cease doing what they're doing. They can ask for correction to what damage has been done. Or mandate it, not just ask for it. And also, there can be fines against board members who were proven to deliberately have violated the rules.
So this panel is only going to hear complaints against the...
Pardon?
This panel is empowered to only hear complaints about those in a position of power.
Yes.
Okay.
Most of the complaints will be filed by... you know, individual homeowners or groups of them.
Let's go through the process here. I have a problem with my association.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the first step? What do I do?
Well, the first step is people will call us, you know, like
Okay. We've
always been doing. And a big, probably half of those calls we can take care of by just, you know, giving them some information about what the loss is, you know, some education, and also making a few phone calls ourselves, like we've done. If it doesn't make any progress, then there is one provision that it's a fairly four or five steps.
I think someone's trying to call out at your house.
Okay, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I think one of my kids is near the room. Told them I was going to be on it, but I think they forgot. Anyway,
okay.
One of the very strong steps in this is that we require the homeowner, or you know, the claimant, to notify the other party. And let's assume it's the board of directors; it could be a manager or somebody.
So basically, I call you, and then I'm required to contact the person I'm complaining about and let them know that
I will tell them to write, you know, the problem they brought to us, to put it in writing to the board and tell them what you would like them to do, tell them what you want them to do about it.
Okay.
Like, you cost me $500 for these fines or something, or towed my car because it was not parked right. Give them that letter, request for what you would like them to do by certified mail. Give them 15 days to respond. If they don't, then we ask them to do it one more time, just so there's no question that board had the opportunity to resolve this without it going further.
Okay.
And at that point, we open a case file on it, then I will send an investigator from the compliance section of the real estate department, who is one of the new staff members, who has the authority to investigate anything that's in violation of state law. They will do an investigation. There will be evidence then put into this file, and if it can later, you know, down the road a little bit, be resolved by an ADR process, which now the commission has the authority to subsidize the cost to the homeowner if that is appropriate. So so the homeowner's not going to have to spend $400 or $500 like mandated like it was before. So it can be a free service and an arbitration decision reached with the help from, you know, the homeowner's registration money, you know. Now, that the arbitration will be subsidized if it's very blatant that it's not being resolved and the other party doesn't think that they've done anything wrong and refuse to try to work it out, then it can go to the commission.
And then the commission will decide. Let me stop you on arbitration for just a second. If you go to court, there's a clear record of what happened and you establish some kind of a precedent. And you can always take it into an association or, you know, if you're on the board, you can say, look, this has been litigated and this is what the result is. So it would be kind of foolish for us to go down the same road. In arbitration, it's all secret. There's nothing, there's no public record. There's no record of anything that's ever happened. The outcome is secret. Everything is under the table. So you're constantly...
You know, our arbitration decisions in this, through our office are not... once that issue, that decision is issued, that it's not secret information. It's public. Anybody wants to see it.
Oh, so you will have it available.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Now, the way that works, you can ask to have it mediated or arbitrated, and... If it's binding arbitration and both parties agree to that type of process or mediation, then that's resolved. There's no
going back on that. Yeah,
no going back. But if it's non-binding arbitration, and about half of them are, and about half of them never get to the process because once the other side recognizes that we're going to have to go to an arbitrator and have him look at this stuff, maybe we better solve it. You know, fix it right now. Just to kind of a threat. Let's get serious about this. I'm just giving you some stats, but about 40% of those that are filed go to non-binding arbitration. About 40% don't go to a hearing because it gets resolved. Both sides are happy. And about 5% go to binding arbitration, 5% go to mediation. Now, the non-binding means that the party that doesn't, you know, that doesn't get the right decision, the loser, I hate to call it loser and winner, but the losing party can appeal it, ask for a trial de novo, it's called, and take it to court.
Mm-hmm.
And but the way that's designed is if that party does not receive a better judgment from the judge, then they're liable for any legal costs that's involved by all sides.
So
most
there
judges,
is a...
Frankly, most judges don't really...
Most judges don't want to take
it
at this point.
If it's been arbitrated and stuff, you know.
Yeah, so basically whether it's binding or not, you're sort of stuck with the arbitrator's decision.
Well, yeah, in a way, you know, look at it that way, sure. We've only had one case that has been taken back to court in 6 years. And we've done about, I think we're right around 800 cases now that's been arbitrated.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
800 cases.
And that number is increasing and will increase now because we're going to make it more palatable to the parties involved to do that. Because I've had many people who really needed some help with finances.
You know, I'm going back to this article, and there's an article that was printed in the Las Vegas Mercury on November 13th.
Uh-huh.
And you're quoted in here as saying that several people have died from stress.
Uh-huh.
One lady was so frustrated that she had a stroke amid a dispute over home repairs.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, that's pretty powerful stuff there, Elton.
That's the message I've tried to send out to the people in the industry here. That one lady, I'll just give you, you know, I can't say that I know this lady died, you know, that's not the cause of her death, you know, legally, but I do know of several elderly people who just really got very sick about this. This one lady called me and left a message one evening. I picked the message up. I talked to her in the past. I knew who it was, but it was late in the day, so I didn't call her. I said, I'll call her in the morning. When I got in the next morning and picked up my messages, there was another message from that same association, another person I'd talk to, and we talk to the same people a lot. I hope, I know you understand that.
But yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
This lady says, well, don't call Kathy because she, right after the meeting, and she was so upset when she left, she went, before she got home, she had a stroke, and she's in the hospital. And I can't say it was directly related to those, you know, the matter, but I'm sure it was.
Well, you know, it's funny because I've heard from a lot of people saying that, you know, the stress and the problems they're dealing with has made them literally sick.
Well, I wish there was a solution to it all, but we have people that don't live in communities that get mad at their neighbors and get in fights and
hit
each other too. So
that's true.
It's
that's
just individuals and their personalities is the biggest challenge, and I don't know if anybody has a solution to that, but we're sure doing everything we can, Shuta, to give people a help, a solution to get somebody to look at it. I feel like we've been quite effective. I really do.
Do you think that this latest, the new laws and the expanded field, I mean, in the article it also says that you've got the fastest growing office in the state government.
Say that again. I didn't understand you.
In this article, it says it seems to be your office seems to be the fastest growing office in state government.
Well, that's with this year with budget problems, many offices were staffed were cut back, and then ours was tripled.
What lessons learned can you share with us? What are your opinions about what you're doing and your opinions of what's needed? Anything you want to, you know, a parting shot, what do you want to tell our listeners?
Well, I believe that, I firmly believe this, these new provisions that are implemented are going to definitely improve lifestyle in these communities in Nevada. Overall, it's not going to fix everything because of the personal things we've talked about. But what I want to send out there is a message that there is a source that you can go to and get someone to look at your problem and give a decision on it. It isn't going to happen overnight, but it's not going to be a long thing. This commission is required to meet at least every 90 days. We've already got them scheduled for every 30 days for the next, you know, it'll be after the first year before they're totally in the works, you know, and all their schedules are set up and so forth. But we already have quite a few people who have been waiting for it to come aboard, and they're requesting that we process their paperwork already. And I can't hardly wait to have a few cases heard and the information get out to the public that this is how it works, and this is a decision that was made, and it'll send a message to those, you know, the violators and the victims that this is not something that's just between you and me. It's other people are concerned about, you know, abuse from the individuals that are causing abuse.
What was your biggest surprise when you took over?
The biggest surprise?
Yeah.
I guess the biggest surprise was all the variety of problems that show up.
Oh, really? You didn't
expect
that?
I could write a book 10 times bigger than War and Peace about stories that you could not believe. I mean, if you want to stay on the air for another 24 hours, I can tell you some of them.
Well, you know what? Maybe we'll do this again. I have an article out of Florida here, and apparently a board is fining an 89-year-old widower because his neighbors came over, brought him dinner, and one of them went outside out front to have a cigarette, and two women walked over to say hello. And the board decided to fine him because he was violating their new rule that said they could not have a party in front of the house.
Well, I know that.
Well,
I'll tell you, yesterday I talked to an elderly lady that I'm really sad about, and frankly, there's an association manager here that is a real problem, and I have taken steps to get some legal people to look at it, and it's been to court, and the initial part of it, and this lady lived in another association that the same person managed.
Mm-hmm.
She was fined. Well, she was assessed, a special assessment. And I hope you understand how that is, special assessments and reserve study things that
right.
have been implemented so that it prevents emergencies coming up and no money to fix them, like in condos especially.
That's right.
Some people don't understand that. I'm dealing with this, several of them right now. It's just a nightmare because nobody wants to have to spend any more money. And mm-hmm. the reserve thing is put in place to prevent that from happening. But this lady just didn't understand it. And the more I listened to her, I felt so bad. She's didn't tell me how old, and I know she's in her 80s probably. And the assessment was $200, and she'd ignored it. And now she owed $400 because this lady had fined her for that, and that's not proper, so that'll be corrected. But I then called the legal aid department of the county and put them together, and I think that this lady will get some help from them. But I've been able to do things like that sometimes because there's people out there that are sympathetic to, you know, there's somebody like this and they're willing to give assistance. And I think this lady will probably get it resolved, and I've just asked her to stay in touch. But, you know, I could not totally fix it without writing her a check, you know, to pay it.
Yeah. That's,
but I even thought about doing that, frankly, honestly.
It's it gets pretty bad. Yeah, I've heard of situations like that. We've got about 1 minute left, Eldon. What would you tell what advice would you give, very briefly in a minute, to any prospective new ombudsman coming on in any state?
My advice would be to be very willing to listen to people, and most people just need someone to listen and listen to what their problem is. Show some sympathy, and I mean be serious about it, and tell them that you're willing to talk to them more about it after you've given them all the advice and help you can, and be willing to try to connect them with people who can actually do something to resolve it.
Well, that's
maybe
good.
Isn't a good statement, but it's just people want someone that demonstrates that they care about their problem.
Yeah, I agree. Eldon, thank you so much. I know you deal with this 5 days a week, and you've taken time out from your Saturday to be with us, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I stayed home for my kids' soccer tournament, so.
Oh.
Grandkids, I should say, my grandkids.
Well,
that's fine. I've seen a few of those, too.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it, and I know that our listeners will appreciate it, the lessons learned and the sound advice you have for them.
Well, I know we didn't touch on everything. It's there, but
maybe you'll come back sometime. We'll do it again.
Well, that'd be fine, sure.
Okay.
Anything we can do to make life better for everybody is the best thing in the world we can all do.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks to all of you for hanging out with us on the Commons today. Please join us on the Commons every Saturday, same time, same place. Stick around. On the Commons was produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. Stay tuned and stay free. See you all next week.
Sure, I'd appreciate it.